Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast, a space for conversations about how you, the birth worker, can create not only a fulfilling and sustainable career, but a joyful and thriving life. I'm Erin Underwood, an educator, movement specialist, mother of four boys, and a total anatomy nerd. My passion is to see birth workers encouraged, supported, and empowered in their careers and life.
Hello, friends. How are we doing? I am really excited about today's podcast. Nothing gets me more passionate than talking about things that deeply impact women's health and their lives that often are either misunderstood or even worse, have shame so deeply ingrained into our psyche that we don't even feel comfortable talking about these topics. Well, today I talk to a major mythbuster and a knowledge sharer, Nicole Jardim. We dive deep into myths around periods, our hormones, the postpartum period, painful, irregular, heavy periods, how to find support for these issues, and so much more. Nicole, also known as the Period Girl, is a certified women's health coach, and her mission is to empower women to take back control of their hormonal health in a fun and sassy way. She's outspoken and opinionated about women's health issues and believes women have the right to be educated about their bodies. Her goal is to provide women with the tools they need to make radical and long-lasting changes so that they can live their best lives. And that is why I am so excited, and I cannot tell you how thrilled I was when Nicole agreed to come onto the podcast. She's been an influence in my own life, and I am so thrilled to share with you her wisdom today. Nicole, thank you so much for joining me today. I am thrilled to have you on the podcast.
Erin, yes. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So if any of my listeners haven't heard of you, Nicole, as the Period Girl, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up being known as the Period Girl?
Yes. I definitely stumbled into this role in my life. I did not come into it knowingly, to be completely honest. I was the poster child for period problems, everyone you could really ever imagine as a teenager. And at the time, I had no idea that any of this was abnormal or not okay. And it was further reaffirmed by my mom, who had also had terrible periods as a teenager as well. And she was like, I'm sure you're just fine, kind of thing. And meanwhile, I was struggling with really heavy, painful periods, the type that kind of make you see stars and don't go to school because you're in so much pain or it's just too heavy and you're going to leak through your clothes. And that went on for a number of years. And then finally, I started noticing that I would only get a period every couple of months and it started to get longer and longer. And finally, I went and saw my mom's OBGYN and she immediately put me on the birth control pill. And for me at the time, I fully thought this was my silver bullet. I was like, okay, this is solved now. Check this box. I'm good to go. I don't need to worry about my period anymore. And then I became the poster child for pill-related side effects. And this went on for a number of years. I saw so many different doctors. Nobody really had answers. It was all a lot of vague wait and see what happens, or try this estrogen cream, or let's do this colonoscopy because I had horrible gut health issues. Or, you know, like here's another UTI medication because I was getting chronic UTIs. And it just went on and on like that for years. And finally, I took a UTI medication that I happened to be allergic to and did not know, and it ended up in the ER. And that was my tipping point. I just decided in that moment there was no way I could continue to do this. It was just a roller coaster. And so I saw a friend's acupuncturist, and he was really the first person in years to ever explain to me how the pill was working in my body and what it was probably doing. And that was the catalyst, really, for the work that I do now. I went into sort of full research Virgo mode because I'm a Virgo. And for me, I just needed answers and I needed a linear step-by-step program. So I went on for, you know, I ended up going on to become a health coach and then study women's hormonal health and just general menstrual health so that I could really understand this. And that's what led me to this work today. And, you know, people would say things like, oh yeah, you're the girl who does periods, or that's the girl who talks about periods. That is how this nickname came about. It was definitely not my own creation. It was somebody else's and or other people's. And then it just sort of stuck. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna roll with this one. And here I am.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just love hearing people's stories, especially in this community, because everyone just has that personal connection that drove them to this work. And I think it just makes it so much more relatable because it's like, hey, I've been there and I've walked through this.
Yeah.
So when we are just starting to talk about the idea of a period and what's normal and what's not, I think some of the biggest hurdles are starting with these myths and misconceptions. Like our starting points aren't nearly, like they're so all over the place.
Yeah.
Of what we think is normal and what we think is healthy or what we're scared of and what we think is abnormal. What are some of the biggest like myths or misconceptions that you see around just the general idea of a monthly cycle or periods?
Oh, girl, where do I even begin? You know, I would say that the first thing is we're meant to suffer, that our periods are the bane of our existence, and they are basically here to haunt us for 40 years. And we're going to have all of these problems with them. And I really think that we need a fundamental shift in the way we approach menstrual cycles in general in our society, because from the get-go, they are considered a bad thing. And in fact, record numbers of teenagers are opting to not have a period. So they're opting to take birth control pills throughout the month over many months and just skip their period completely. There are multiple doctors and articles out there that believe this is perfectly okay. And I'm going to have to say no on that because I think that our periods are information. I think that our overall menstrual cycles are constantly in communication with us. We're just unaware of what they're saying. And as a result, we just interpret their messages as being bad. Their nicknames that our menstrual cycles or our periods have, like the curse and aunt flow and all of these silly euphemisms, they're really what they are is just a misunderstanding of what our periods are actually trying to tell us. And really what they're doing is just trying to communicate to us that there might be something else going on below the surface. So I'd say that's the first thing. And I think the second thing is that we have this belief that hormones are really bad, that hormones are basically these, you know, first of all, we don't even know what they are. And secondly, we just associate hormones with bad things, right? We associate them with PMS symptoms, with puberty, which apparently is not great either. And we talk about, you know, the time of the month, and we talk about pregnancy, and the hormones are doing all these terrible things to me. So we never really speak about hormones in our society as being positive in any way, as being these incredible little chemical messengers that are doing a million things a minute unbeknownst to us. And they're what keeps us going pretty much in all areas of our health. And so I feel like these two aspects of our lives really need a bit of a shift. We need to start to think of our bodies and our hormones and our menstrual cycles as really serving us, as being something that's positive and showing up for us, even though we don't even realize that there's all this stuff going on right below the surface.
Yes. Yeah. That's really important too. Just that connection to mindset shifts and how are we even initially talking about a subject? Because if we're immediately even apologizing for our bodies and the way that they're built and the way that they're wired, then it's like, I don't know. I just think it's really powerful to start with a more, this can be a beautiful thing rather than this is just a death sentence. Best of luck to you.
Yes, right? I know. I think that we really do have to shift the perception around that. It's just a death sentence, like just good luck to you. You know, when I think about the fact that your body is always working for you, it's not working against you. And that is another common misconception, that your body is just randomly rebelling against you and we have no idea why. But in Fix Your Period, in the book that I wrote, we talk about this, or I talk about this in the sense that if your body has an infection, you have a fever, for instance, or you will have other symptoms. So it's the same thing with your menstrual cycle, right? So if you have a fever or sore throat, those are symptoms and of something else that's brewing or something's going on. Your period symptoms are just your body's way of telling you that something's up with your hormones and your menstrual cycle. And it's up to us to learn what is going on with our bodies, learn our body's language so that we can interpret the signals.
Exactly. Yeah, we see pain or signals sometimes. It's like if we can just shut them off, then we'll be okay. But it's like if we think about that in any other field, like neuropathy, like if you can't feel with your hands or your feet, you take so many precautions because that initial signal that you're going to get that, hey, something's wrong, either you're going to, you know, you've burnt your hand or you have a cut on your foot that is just festering, but you don't know it. Then when you shut those signals off, like we know, like that's really not healthy. But somehow with the period, we think if we shut the signals off, like everything, all the problems disappear. But really, we just, you know, shut the signal off and something deeper is probably going on. We just don't know about it.
I love that you said this because I think that this is one of the bigger issues with using hormonal birth control in this way. Because really what it's doing, as you know, and I know, is that it's shutting off ovulation, which is a critical component of the female reproductive system and our overall health in general. It's not like, you know, you're making estrogen and progesterone when you ovulate and they're just for fertility purposes for making a baby. That's what we've been led to believe. But estrogen and the different types of estrogen and then progesterone, they play a massive role in our health. I mean, they're responsible for multiple parts of our bodies being functioning okay. For instance, bone health and brain health and mood and cognitive function, as well as our hair and our skin. And of course, our fertility and our menstrual cycles too. But there are so many aspects of our health that are impacted by these two hormones that are just not going to be made in the amounts that they need to be made when we're not ovulating. So yes, agreed with you completely. You can't just let the fire rage and close the door and just hope that it goes out. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. So when we're talking about, you mentioned how hormones and mindset shifts and understanding that, when we're talking about specifically the prenatal, postnatal period of our lives or the season or timeframe, and we think about specifically postpartum, there are so many shifts and transitions that are happening through the body and then outside of the body and in relationships. But specifically when you're thinking about the period, coming back into a relationship with understanding your body, sometimes it feels like everything is different. Like you have, maybe even you had a cycle, you had a rhythm, like you knew, and then you were able to get pregnant and then you had your baby and then you kind of expect it to be the exact same. And then all of a sudden it's all over the place. Can you talk a little bit just about that period and and that stage? Let's put it that way. Let's just not confuse the issue. And just kind of understanding your period and understanding your hormones and what is a healthy rhythm.
Oh, yes. I think that, well, I'll start with a story because I have heard from so many women over the years about postpartum periods and actual periods, not the period, but, you know, actual having a period in the postpartum time and how confusing and stressful it can be because you have, first of all, you have no idea how your body is going to, first of all, when you're going to get your period. And secondly, how your period is going to look. And I had an interview that I did last year and it was with Well and Good, which is an online wellness site. And one of the women who worked there, it was a panel event that we all did. She was like, oh, you talk about periods. Okay. Well, I just had a baby 6 months ago and I finally got my period back and I've had 3 periods in the last, I don't know, 6 weeks. What is wrong with me? And I felt so bad because she clearly had no idea what was going on and with her body and nobody had told her anything. And I feel like there's just a lot of knowledge, or there's a big knowledge gap in this particular time in women's lives about what to expect with their menstrual cycles. I mean, I've been asked countless times, you know, what's normal, what's not. And what I continually say is that I'm not even so sure what the normal timeframe is anymore because I see so much variation. But I will say that when you when you ovulate again for the first time in postpartum, think about the first time that you were ovulating after puberty started, right? This is your body or your endocrine system is coming online after not being online really ever. It's a little bit different, but just bear with me. So the point is that your body is coming online, your endocrine system is getting going, and it's going to be a bit of a learning curve. So it's going to take some time for your ovaries to function the way a woman who is in her 20s or 30s might. So a fully developed endocrine system. And what happens in puberty is that sometimes the follicle where your egg comes out of is a little smaller. Sometimes it just doesn't produce as much progesterone as you might need to have a full length luteal phase. It just might be that you have an anovulatory cycle here or there. Because again, your ovaries are just taking baby steps. They're trying to figure things out. I liken that to the postpartum time as well, because you've technically not had a period for a long time. And depending on, you know, who you are and your circumstances, you might get a period back 2 or 3 months after you give birth. And for others, it might be 2 years. It just depends. And what I find is that when you do, it's similar to puberty and even perimenopause in that you are likely going to experience a couple of periods a month sometimes. And just so everyone knows, your period or a period must always be preceded by ovulation. So when you ovulate, you will have a true period after that, somewhere between the range of 12 to 14 days for most women after you ovulate. So if you ovulate, you're guaranteed to have a period. However, if you have an anovulatory cycle, you might still bleed. It just might be that your uterine lining sheds. And so what my point is that you might notice that you ovulate and then have a period, and then your endocrine system is still not quite up to speed yet. So it might just start bleeding again. And that's okay. It's just that you're trying to get back on track. And so I would say definitely see your doctor or a doctor if this continues over more than 3 months, because I feel like eventually you should definitely normalize. I think the other thing to take into consideration, which is really different between perimenopause or puberty or whatever, is that with pregnancy, there's a complete hormonal reset almost. I mean, for lack of a better term, you are going from having tons of hormones coursing through your veins to basically almost like a hormonal crash right after you give birth. And as a result, you kind of end up in this place of, oh, wow. I mean, like nothing is working the way it used to kind of thing. It's what it feels like for a lot of women. And I would say that what's going to happen is, you're going to feel, or those hormones are going to just stay really low until you get back to the point where you're ovulating again. So it really does change a lot of things. And the third thing to consider as well is that there are often cases of women developing postpartum thyroid conditions. And so I think that that's something that we really have to pay attention to as well, because with thyroids, just so everyone knows, your thyroid plays a really big role in your menstrual cycle in general. And thyroid hormone in particular will influence how your ovaries function, whether the health of your follicle. It's going to impact how your ovaries actually release an egg, if they release an egg even. So thyroid hormone is a big component. So if you have postpartum thyroiditis or a postpartum thyroid condition, that might be playing a role in whether you ovulate or don't ovulate and what's going on with your menstrual cycles. The other thing too is that when we don't ovulate for long periods of time, like in postpartum, we tend to become estrogen dominant and progesterone deficient, because in order to make progesterone in decent amounts, we have to actually ovulate consistently. And so when you're not ovulating, that progesterone is going to be on the lower side. Estrogen might creep up. And that's why a lot of the time I hear from women that they experience heavy periods and then periods that come more than once a month. And then also too, like PMS symptoms, spotting before their period. So like I said, you might just notice a complete shift from what you had before you got pregnant and what's happening now afterwards. But I definitely recommend working with a doctor just to make sure that your thyroid's working okay and that things are generally okay.
Absolutely. And I think just that having that little extra grace in the figuring out process, I love the comparison to adolescence because we have that extra grace in our mindset when it comes to that time frame of life of, yes, it's going to take a while for the body to get into a rhythm. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's not just a light switch. And yet I think sometimes with the postpartum period, there's just been such a bounce back, fit back into your genes, get your body back mentality that we don't have that openness, I think, to the like just having that little extra time to be like, my body will figure this out. You know, yes, of course, with the help of a doctor and making sure everything's on track, but also not feeling that extra pressure of like, oh, okay, light switch. I'm a mom. Everything's here now. Like, we're good.
I know. We definitely have that narrative, don't we, culturally? It's just like, let's just fit right back into the genes. Let's just get right back on track kind of thing. And that's not quite how human bodies work or how nature works either.
Yes. So let's say we're working with our clients and they are having some red flags when it comes to their period and they're wanting to find a doctor who will listen to them and who won't just necessarily write them a prescription for a pill, they're wanting to actually dig into finding the root cause of what's going on. I know this is a massive topic, but what are just maybe some pointers or some guidelines that you have found in helping guide that process or questions they should be asking or, you know, just tips and tricks that you have found that help guide people to finding a good fit?
Yeah, I would say that this is a massive issue and I hear about it often. And I would say that the first thing is, ask your friends. Yeah, I'm sure they have recommendations for you. So I would start there. I would start with trying to find a referral. And this is a process in many cases. And sometimes we just don't have the time for this, but I encourage everyone to make time because this is your body. This is your health and this is your life. I mean, you are worth getting the care that you deserve. So I would say starting with friends and family, coworkers, anyone you know who is like-minded and who you know is going to potentially be seeing someone who is willing to look a little bit deeper and take a more functional approach to your health. So starting with referrals is a good step. And then the next thing would be if you are seeing an acupuncturist, for instance, or maybe you're working with a nutritionist or a midwife even, they usually have recommendations of people in their circle who could be a good fit for you in terms of a doctor who would be able to look a little bit deeper at your issues and not just prescribe the pill. So I'd say that's the second thing. And then, you know, the third thing is to go online and search. I mean, there is the Institute for Functional Medicine. They have a directory on their website for states and countries. There's also the naturopathic. Oh my gosh, what's the name of the naturopathic organization? I think it's AANP, something like that. But I'll have to look that one up and I'll send it to you so you can add it to the show notes. But basically the naturopaths as well. So you want to make sure that you work with a licensed naturopathic doctor. So you could look on their website as well for a directory. And, you know, I think starting there those are all really good places to start. And then, you know, I would say the other thing is too, is that you can also work with your doctor. I think when you start to understand what's going on with your body, and I explain so much of this in the book because like I said 20 years ago, I just couldn't get the right answers. Nobody could really tell me what was normal, what was not. And I really sought to break that down in the scope of the book. And I think that, you know, when you start to understand what's going on with your body and you're tracking your symptoms and your cycle, you can have an educated conversation with your doctor and just say, hey, I'm working with XYZ. You could say, I'm working with a midwife. I'm working with a health coach or a nutritionist, a dietitian, and they're making these recommendations based on the symptoms that I'm experiencing. And often you would be surprised. Some doctors are really open to doing that kind of testing, especially if you have a long-term relationship with them. So I think that that's something to think about as well, is that if you trust your doctor and you feel like you've had a long-term relationship with that person, they will likely trust you and know that you're, what you're bringing to them is legitimate. And I just also encourage everyone to be nuanced in their approach, right? Because if you are working with a doctor who dismisses you or just doesn't take your symptoms or your experience seriously, there's a term for that. It's called medical gaslighting, and it's not okay. You're paying that person to help you figure out what's going on with your health. And if you're not getting the care that you need, you're allowed to fire that doctor and find another one, someone who works for you. I say this often. You would not be okay with a crappy haircut. Like, we would go back to the stylist and we would get the haircut fixed or the dye job fixed or whatever it was. So I don't know why it's okay for us to get mediocre medical care. I think that we're at a pivotal time in our lives right now where we're gonna demand it. We're gonna have to demand it because this is our health and our livelihoods at stake. And if you are getting the care that you need, you're able to fulfill goals and your life's purpose. But if you're not, you're not going to be well enough to do that. So I do think it's as serious as that. And if your doctor isn't working for you, you should definitely find another doctor.
Yes. Preach.
I know. So. I don't mince words.
So earlier, before we were just starting this podcast, you were talking about how you went into research mode for your own health. And I just love that because that's also how I'm wired as far as like, there's a problem, I'm going to figure it out.
Right.
And I think there's so much, it's such a gift to humanity when someone else has done the research for you and puts it all together and like has actually spent so much time like digging into the topic and laying it out, which I know you have just done that with your book, as far as the book, Fix Your Period book, which I know has been a labor of love and it's like a birth in and of itself. Can you share a little bit about just where that book came from? Who is the book for? Like what topics do you exactly cover in this book? I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
First of all, thank you for acknowledging the birth thing. We have had a running joke, me and pretty much every friend who's talked me off the ledge for the last 14 months of writing this book, about the fact that you're just in labor, baby's coming, it'll be here, blah, 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 the whole thing. And so, yes, there are a lot of jokes around that that have kept me semi-sane. But yeah, you know, when deciding whether to do this, I almost didn't do it. I will say that because I have seen other friends write a book and it looks like it has really sucked for them. And then lo and behold, I inflicted this torture on myself. And it was one of those things I knew I had to do. And the reason for that is because I can reach a ton of people on my website and on social media. But when it comes to having a book that's out in the world and it actually is publishing in the US and Canada and in the UK and in pretty much all over Europe, actually, and hopefully in Australia and other countries as well. So it's definitely going to be out there in a far bigger way than I think I could ever have done with my own efforts. And I really wanted to give anyone who has a period hope that they too can address these issues, because I will never forget being 17, having no idea what was going on with my body. I was totally that girl who I didn't know when my last period was. I would make a date up in my doctor's appointments. I just knew nothing. I literally just knew nothing about nothing when it came to my body and my health. And so I feel like if I could learn this stuff, anyone can learn it and implement it. And so for me, if I had had this kind of information or guidance at that age, or even in my early 20s when I ended up in the ER, it would completely have changed the trajectory of my life. And maybe I wouldn't have done this work. Who knows? But it's really written for anyone who has struggled, who has really felt like, I don't have answers. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what's normal and what's not anymore. I have no idea what's up with my period or my body. And is not getting the answers or the solutions that they need from their current medical care. And that's really how this came about. And the first half of the book, I call it Mapping the Menstrual Cycle, How It All Works, because again, the Virgo in me wants to make sure that all of you know how this stuff works. And so I'm talking through, you know, periods 101 and hormones and why hormones are actually not a bad thing and how to start decoding the period related issues that you have. So whether that's PCOS, it's endometriosis, You have heavy periods, you have period pain, you have no period, you have very irregular periods. All of these are a sign that something is amiss in your body and with your endocrine system. And it's just time to start looking a little bit deeper. They're not a curse. They're not a terrible thing. Well, they can be. I should definitely not dismiss the fact that a condition like polycystic ovary syndrome or endometriosis can absolutely be terrible. But it is certainly they are certainly a sign that there is something deeper happening below the surface. And truly, they're asking us to pull the curtain back and start to see what's under there and make adjustments according to the symptoms we're experiencing. So that's that first part. And then the second part is what to do about them. And in creating the book, we went back and forth on all the different ways that one could treat these issues. And finally, we settled on 6 weeks to fixing your period. And of course, everyone knows that you can't necessarily fix all of these issues in 6 weeks. That's not really possible. But, you know, in publishing land, you got to have a number. So that's what we settled on. And ultimately, I wanted to hit the main components of our endocrine health and our overall health and what affects our periods. And the very first thing, of course, is food. And then talking about blood sugar and insulin and how that will impact your other hormones, because insulin is a very powerful hormone. And then, of course, I wanted to discuss the gut and how your gut impacts your menstrual cycle, because it's actually really huge. And then I went from there into your liver and your stress and your thyroid. And again, all of these aspects of your health play an intricate role in your overall hormonal balance and your period. So ultimately, I was giving everyone, or wanting to give everyone, a roadmap for how to start getting back on track if they have menstrual cycle related issues, no matter what they are.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to make a plug for you, because as birth workers, if we work with anyone who has a uterus, like, I believe it is our job to at least have a cursory understanding of how things work and this part of the body, because it is central to everything else that goes on. And I mean, hormones affect everything. And so I think there's also just so much power in us sharing knowledge with our community that we own, that we actually have spent the time researching, have felt it in our own bodies. And that's where I have the biggest testimonies, as far as like, when I talk to my clients about my journey and like, I've experienced this, and then I researched this and I felt upset about this, or, and then I, you know, this is the book, or this is the resource that actually kind of turned the light bulb on for me. They are super engaged, rather than like, oh, I heard of this book somewhere and I think it was good, someone said something about it. They're gonna be like, okay, cool. But and I also think too, for us to start normalizing that we can do research on the postnatal stage. Like, I think prenatal mamas, they're amazing. They are so engaged. Like, I'm going to go to the birth classes. I'm going to read the books and I'm going to watch the YouTube videos and I'm going to be so prepared for this birth. And then the baby comes, and being like, we can still, your body is still just as valuable, even though the baby's not inside of you.
Right.
And it is still worth that amount of time and energy to understand how it works and to understand the systems and to honor the fact that your body is beautiful and you can really have one book at your fingertips that could just turn a light on for you and help you understand what's going on, I think is a really powerful shift that we can start normalizing, that it doesn't just have to be the prenatal community that spends that energy.
Oh my goodness. I love this so much. I really appreciate you saying that, because I was thinking about that too, about the fact that, you know, a lot of the women I've worked with are in that prenatal time as well. And they are, you know, they're so focused on doing all the right things and making sure everything is exactly as it should be. And I love that. I love that dedication. But then after we give birth, we don't really, I think that there's just not a lot of emphasis put on how to take care of ourselves in that postpartum time. And I feel like we are so depleted by that point. And it is actually the most critical time for us to be taking care of ourselves.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And so just us as practitioners, if we can kind of just keep up that conversation of like, your body is amazing and beautiful and valuable, even if it doesn't have a baby inside of it. Because I think that's the mindset shift that no one comes out and says it, but moms are so amazing and they're so nurturing, and that baby's inside of them and they're like, I am responsible. I want to do everything possible to get this baby off on the right foot. And so, yeah, I'm going to pour my energy into the nutrition and into the exercise and into the research. And then once baby's out, it's almost like this off switch of like, okay, I did my job, rather than your body is still just beautiful. Let's just continue that energy and that relationship with your own body.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I think that's so beautiful.
Awesome. So, Nicole, do you have any last little bits of advice or thoughts if you could just speak to the birth worker community right now? So these are the doulas, the midwives, the lactation consultants. They're out in the field and they are working with the prenatal, postnatal community, and they are doing this amazing work as far as, you know, wanting to influence the narrative. What would be your encouragement or just words of wisdom that you would have that you would want to share?
You know, I would say that the one thing that I want to continually drive home is that our bodies are always talking to us. They're always communicating. And the symptoms that we find to be most frustrating are the symptoms that are actually what are trying to get our attention more than anything. And so I think that when you're working with clients, they're struggling with whatever, you know, period related symptoms, I find that is usually an indicator of fertility. You know, it's all connected, obviously, like period problems, fertility problems are all connected. But what I have found is that in many cases, women are, if they have period related issues, those are often dismissed. And then they're struggling with fertility related problems, or they're struggling with issues during the time that they're pregnant. And I feel like all of that is connected. And so it requires a little bit of connecting dots here and there, especially when you just start working with someone and they're potentially pregnant and you don't know their prenatal history or their history prior to pregnancy. So I would just say that would be the one thing, is always be trying to connect the dots between what's happening with a person's period and what's happening with them if they're not able to get pregnant, or what's happening during pregnancy and then after pregnancy. Because what I have seen is there's such a connection between all of the symptoms in all of the different phases.
Awesome. That's so good. So, Nicole, where is the best place for people to find you? I know you're online. I know you're on social media. I know you have a podcast. Can you give us just the rundown?
I know, it's like a dizzying array of places one can be found these days. So you can find me on NicoleJardim.com. That's the main hub. And I have my blog on there. I've been talking about period problems and all of the conditions as they relate to menstrual cycles for many years. So there's a lot of information on there. You can also find my book on there too. But if you do want to order my book or pre-order my book before April 28th, I have about $600 worth of bonuses to go with the book before it actually comes out into the world on the 28th. And you can go to fixyourperiod.com. I made it super easy for everybody, and just enter your receipt name or receipt number, your name and email address once you purchase through any of the retailers that I've listed on there. And then you can get all the bonuses that I'm sharing about. And you can also find me on social media. Instagram is pretty much where I spend most of my time. It's Nicole M. Jardim. And then also my podcast, The Period Party.
That's fabulous. Well, Nicole, thank you so much for coming on, for your wisdom, just for how many years of energy you've poured into all of this. And I just am so appreciative of you.
Thank you so much, Erin. I really appreciate you having me on. This was so great.
As you have heard, we could have talked all day. If you're loving and wanting to dive deeper into any of these topics, Nicole has some amazing resources for you. First off, if you love podcasts, go head on over to Nicole's podcast, The Period Party. There is so much valuable information there that it's completely free. Nicole also has a quiz which can help you start to discover the root cause of your own symptoms and powerful steps to balancing your hormones naturally. You can head on over to her website, NicoleJardim.com/quiz. Now let's talk about her book for just a moment. I cannot stress enough the importance and the value of women knowing their own bodies to be able to effectively advocate for ourselves and for our clients. I've had the chance to get an advanced copy of her book, and I can honestly say it is very powerful. If you're at all curious because you're wanting to heal your own hormones or just start supporting yourself in an educated and impactful way, this book is the perfect place to start. You can head on over to Amazon or wherever you buy your books and get this book, friends. Also, as Nicole mentioned, if you purchase before her launch on the 28th of April of 2020, you'll get a boatload of amazing bonuses. She's being so generous and really there to support you on this journey. I'm not getting a kickback or any of that to say any of these things. I just honestly believe in it and would really love to see these tools in your guys' hands. Another way you can support your period is through movement. What? So next week, I'm going to be doing a follow-up episode to this episode all about how to support the pelvic floor and the organs within using simple exercises and getting that blood flow going. So make sure you tune in. You won't want to miss it. Thank you so much for your support. If you're digging this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. It's a powerful way that you can support this work. I hope you have a wonderful week, my friends, and I'll be talking to you soon.
The information and discussion provided on this podcast are not intended and should not be construed as medical advice. If you have a medical concern, you should consult with an appropriately licensed physician or healthcare provider.